You can decide to be thankful. You can decide to be thankful. That's the title of the message this morning that I want to share with you. You know, it is about choosing to be thankful, choosing to have gratitude in your heart, choosing to be thankful. When we're thoughtful, we become more thankful as well. I want to read to you this one verse to begin with here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Hear the words of that verse again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't just say, you know, in a Thanksgiving dinner give thanks, but it says in everything. So on the days when we don't have quite as much, or on the days when things aren't as good, it doesn't say just on a super day, just on your best days, just when everything's going great, but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. I'm going to ask God to speak to your heart this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we can come. And we're thankful for each guest that you've brought to join us today. We're honored that they've come and we want to be a blessing to them. We're thankful for these men that have served our country and served the cause of freedom. We're blessed because of them and what their effort and their sacrifice. Most of all, we're blessed, Father, because of the sacrifice of your Son who gave his life for us on Calvary. And we're indebted to you for the love you've shown, the sacrifice that you made, so we could have the gift of salvation, so great a salvation as the choir sang about. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can decide to be thankful. You know, Thanksgiving is a good time of year, of course, to give thanks. But the truth is, we ought to decide to be thankful all year long. All year long. Hopefully this Thanksgiving holiday will remind you and remind me to give God the gratitude that he deserves. You know, to give him the gratitude that he demands and deserves, the respect he deserves, the thankfulness he deserves. The kind of giving thanks that ought to really, truthfully be on our lips all year long. You know, it ought not to just be one day a year or one weekend a year when we can give thanks to the Lord, but all year long that we can give thanks from our hearts to Him. Sometimes gratitude is really a matter of perspective. Perspective. Well, how are we looking at things? How are we seeing things? How are we viewing things? Are we viewing them properly? Do we choose to grumble and complain about things, or do we stop and think and realize how good we actually have it? Have any of you ever read before the Snoopy and Charlie Brown cartoons? Have any of you ever read it? Don't be shy. Have you ever read them? A few of you. Okay, we have some comics in our newspapers. The newspapers are kind of going away nowadays. But there's always been comics, you know, in the Toronto Star newspaper and different things. And an old comic and so on is Snoopy and Charlie Brown and so on. There's a Charlie Brown is a boy in the story, and Snoopy is his dog. One time the cartoon, it pictured Charlie Brown, and he was bringing out Snoopy's dinner on Thanksgiving Day. But his dinner was just his usual, you know, dog food. It was Thanksgiving, and all Snoopy was getting was just this plain old dog food. Snoopy took one look at the dog food and began to complain, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world is eating turkey today and stuffing and all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food. Because I'm a dog, all I get is dog food." And Snoopy grumbled and complained, felt sorry for himself about his dog food. But then he just stood there and he stared at his bowl of dog food for a little while. And then he said, "I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey. I could be a turkey." You know what? Isn't thankfulness a matter of perspective? You know, we can be thankful for our dog food, be thankful for Thanksgiving dinner, or be thankful that we're not the turkey, right? Be thankful. It's a matter of perspective in life or how we view things and the things we go through and what happens to us. Gratitude is a matter of perspective. Sometimes when we stop for a little bit and we put things in perspective, we realize that we're actually a lot better off than so many other people in the world. We may have things far better than many people do today. And we ought to thank God for that. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then certainly we have many blessings that the world doesn't have. If we will be more thoughtful people, we'll be more thankful. Right? If we'll put more thought into, you know, what we have and what others don't have and just how good God has been to us, we'll be more thankful people. Of all the men in the Bible who could have complained, you would think maybe it could have been the Apostle Paul. I mean, there was others, certainly, no doubt. But one example is somebody who, if you would have just looked at all that happened to him in his life, you would think, man, that guy's got a right to be upset. He's got a right to complain. But though he went through many trials, he decided to be thankful. I want to look at a few verses. I'll read this passage. You can look at it with me if you want to. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I want you to just listen for a moment at some of the things that the Apostle Paul went through in his life. So many trials and difficulties that he went through, yet he decided to be thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 33 says this: Are they ministers of Christ? I speak not as a fool, I am more. He says, in labor is more abundant. He labored abundantly. It says, in stripe above measure, meaning some of the beatings that he took because of his servant serving Christ. It says, in prisons more frequent. In other words, more times in jail, more times in prison. And the prisons of that day were not nice. You know, you didn't get to go to school classes. You didn't have cable TV. You didn't have classes to go to and things to make it nice. You didn't have the good meals that they probably have today. It was awful. It was awful. And Paul spent many times in prison. Cold, dark, dank, ugly prisons. It says, in prisons more frequent and deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, three times, in other words, was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Three times. Shipwreck once in your life would be bad. Three times you suffered shipwreck, the Bible says. It says, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Even spent a night and day in the waters. It says, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, perils is troubles, and so on. It says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I be, that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Man, talk about a person having a rough life. It seems that people are always attacking Paul. People are always against Paul. He was always being thrown in prison or being in trouble because of what he did and what he preached and so on. This guy had a rough time. Yet Paul was somebody who chose to be thankful. He decided to be thankful. In the same letter to the church at Corinth, Paul wrote this in chapter number 2. He said, "Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." How could Paul write that? The same man who went through all those things, all those troubles, a difficult life. I didn't write down the verse, I'm sorry, but somewhere in chapter 2, it does say that. Now, thanks be to God, which always, he didn't just say just sometimes, but always causes us to triumph. He realized that even through some of those trials and troubles that he went through, God was still causing him to triumph through Christ. Through Christ. Despite the trials that he went through. He did not have a complaining spirit. He chose to have a thankful spirit. And Paul seemed to believe that always, in all things, he still triumphed. He still came out on the winning side of things. Why? Because of Jesus Christ in his life. Paul was a unique man, no doubt. He excelled in so many ways. One aspect of his character was his gratefulness. Paul was a thankful man. Gratitude flowed from his heart. 49 times in Paul's writings in the New Testament, we find Paul using some form of the word thanks or thankful or thankfulness or some word like that. Paul, in every case, was either expressing gratefulness vertically to his God or horizontally to other people. Paul always expressed thankfulness to God and thankfulness to other people around him that helped him, his companions, his fellow laborers, to other Christians. You know what? We can decide to be more thankful. We can decide to be more thankful. Psalm 100 and verse 4, the psalmist gives us some good advice about our relationship with God. Psalm 100 verse 4, the psalmist said this, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Can't we all try to be more thankful? And not just be more thankful on, well, this is a good day, I can be thankful today, but how about, let's try to be more thankful every day and in every way and in all things that we go through. Paul decided to be thankful, and he tells us to be thankful. Our text verse this morning was in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul is trying to teach the Christians of the church of Thessalonica to be thankful during everything that they would go through. He said in that verse, "In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Turn over to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. Still have your Bible open there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. I love how in this same letter to the Christians in the city of Thessalonica, Paul expressed his thankfulness to them. He expressed his thankfulness to them. You know something? If we live for ourselves, we'll not have much to be thankful for, will we? If we always just living for ourselves or focused on ourselves, not a lot to be thankful for. But if we live focused on others, we'll be more thankful people. Paul recognized the work and the labor of others, and he was very thankful for it. Notice what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." You know what? Paul expressed thankfulness. Paul writes to these Christians at the church of Thessalonica, who we read earlier. He's going to teach them to be thankful in all things, all the time. He says, "I'm thankful for you." He said in verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all." Was there ever a day where maybe, you know, somebody didn't quite treat him just right? Probably. But even on those days, he said, "We still give thanks to you. We still give thanks to God for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you." What an example he sets for us. Paul expressed thankfulness for their work of faith. Their work of faith. You know something? I'm very thankful today for the work of faith of so many people over the course of my life. Parents, grandparents, pastors, spiritual leaders, Sunday school teachers, youth ministry leaders, Christian school teachers, godly friends, so many people whose work of faith made a difference in my life. Listen, I'm thankful for every one of them, for their work of faith and their work of even building faith in my own life. I have so much to be thankful, and I'm thankful for every one of them, the influence they had in my life. Paul, in this verse, he also expressed thankfulness for their labor of love. For their labor of love. You know, true love for God will always cause us to serve God, won't it? True love always serves. Love is not selfish. Love serves God. Love serves others. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth me. You know something? I'm thankful today for the labor of love of so many people who have labored here with us in the Lord's work at Gospel Light Baptist Church. I'm thankful for their labor of love. I'm thankful for the people who have encouraged us through their faithfulness and involvement. I'm thankful for people who have given to support God's work. I'm thankful for people who have spent hundreds and thousands of hours laboring out of love for the Lord. I mean, I'm thankful for people who have helped to set up the church. You understand here, our church, we are privileged to meet at this school building every week. So we don't have our own nice building like some folks in town do. We're a younger church. There's only so many old buildings to go around. And so we've met at the school for 12 years. And before that, we met at a hotel for 3 years in their conference facilities. And for 12 years in this school, it's involved setting up every Saturday early on Sunday mornings and a lot of preparation and a lot of work for people to be able to come in and enjoy services and Sunday school and so on. I'm thankful for people that have labored in that way for 1 year or 2 years or a few weeks or for 5 years or even 15 years. I'm thankful for people who've gone out witnessing and knocked on doors and those who've invited people to church and passed out gospel tracts. I'm thankful for people that have used their vehicles to pick up others for church, to maybe to give people a ride home from church. I'm thankful for choir members who would come early to learn new songs and to practice and practice and practice and to try to be a blessing and encouragement to others through music. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers and nursery workers. Nursery workers are always some of the most blessed ones in a church, right? I'm thankful for nursery workers over the years who have taken care of many, many babies and small children in our church. They've loved them and cared for them. And Sunday school teachers that have taught children the songs of God and the Word of God. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for them being in their place week after week, month after month, year after year to teach boys or girls or teenagers or adults the Word of God. I'm thankful for people who've labored in these ways. I'm thankful for people who've seen needs and just stepped up to meet those needs because of their love for the Lord. I'm thankful for children and ladies and men who have labored to clean the church on a Sunday afternoon or on a Sunday night to stack up all these chairs and put them away and to put tables away and to put these mats away and to put all our stuff away and to mop floors and clean bathrooms and all these things that we do so people can come in and enjoy church and the preaching of God's Word and so on. I'm thankful for every labor of love that's been done for the sake of Christ. I'm thankful for those that have gotten the pastor water on Sunday mornings. I'm thankful for those that have taken the glasses and washed them on Sunday nights. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for volunteers who've done so many things at church or maybe done things behind the scenes and it's not been noticed much, but I'm thankful for all the work that's been done, the labor of love. There are so many, many people who I'm deeply grateful for them and their labor of love for Jesus Christ. Paul expressed thankfulness in this verse for their work of faith and their labor of love. But he also expressed thankfulness, this is an interesting thing, for their patience of hope. Their patience of hope. There were some in the church who, I believe, they were enduring afflictions. Because of their faith, they were having great trials that they were suffering. Because they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, they were living in a time where they were greatly persecuted. And Paul said, I'm thankful for some of you. I'm thankful for the patience that some of you are exhibiting. Some had a wonderful testimony of pressing on for the Lord despite their trials and afflictions. You know what? I'm thankful for so many people in my lifetime who I have observed them endure trials with patience and hope and trust in the Lord. Those people are a blessing, aren't they? When you can observe other people who they press on even through trials in their life, they press on even through hard times in their life, and they still trust in the Lord, and they still hope in the Lord, and they press on with patience, those people encourage us. Paul said, I'm thankful for them. As 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 continues, Paul expresses thanks for their tremendous fellowship and their willingness to follow. He expresses thankfulness for their good testimony and for the example they set for others. He expressed thankfulness for their fervent zeal for witnessing and he expressed his thankfulness over and over to them. You know something, it's always good for our own heart. And it's always good for the heart of other people when we express thankfulness, isn't it? When we think about some things that people in our life have done for us and then we find a way to express that thanks. Whether it's verbally, whether it's by writing a note, whether it's by giving them a phone call and saying thank you, however it is. When we think about the good qualities of others, instead of just thinking about some negative. When we think about the good things that others have done for us and we express our thankfulness to them, listen, it's good for their heart and it's good for your heart. It's good for their heart, it's good for my heart when we do that. In chapter 2, another thing that Paul says he's thankful for is this, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know what Paul was saying, I'm thankful that the majority of the people in the church of Thessalonica were so receptive to the word of God that was taught. When they heard preaching and teaching, they believed it and they trusted God. And God was doing, the Bible says, a very effectual work, a very effective work in these believers' hearts and lives. What an encouraging thing that is for a preacher when they just take the Word of God and they believe it and they follow it in their life. And Paul was thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for those who have a tender heart and a receptive mind and a teachable spirit. You're such a blessing to your pastor. Paul decided to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 told us what? In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can you decide to be thankful? No, Paul was writing under the inspiration of God, and he wanted us to learn to be thankful in all things at all times. Paul was thankful even while going through trials. The book of Philippians in the Bible is a book that's really centered around some themes of joy and thankfulness. But you know what? It was written during one of the times when Paul was likely in prison. While he was in prison, Paul still writes a letter to the church at Philippi, to the Christians in the city of Philippi, and he writes to them. And he says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. You know what? Paul was still a thankful man, even in difficult circumstances. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul wrote these words to the Christians in another city of Ephesus. And he wrote this. He said, giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks, how often? Always. For what? For all things. Think about what it would take to start practicing and living those words. What would it take? What would have to be different for us to start practicing those words? To give thanks always for all things. For all things. You know what? That's only possible when our thankfulness is rooted in God. Because if all we do is think about ourselves, we'll be less likely to be thankful. If all we do is think about other people, we'll be less likely to be thankful. But if our thankfulness is rooted in God and what God has done for us, we'll be a more thankful people. You know, giving thanks is not just a word that is used casually or flippantly or out of habit, with the hopes for kids that maybe they can get something more from parents or friends. Oh, thank you. Can I have another candy? Thank you. I'll get another one. You know, sometimes people use it that way as a way to get something. No, listen, thankfulness ought to be something that deep comes from within our heart because we have gratitude. And that gratitude being rooted in our thankfulness for God. A sincere, heartfelt gratitude towards the Lord our God. The main Hebrew word for thanks in the Old Testament is used over 72 times. And that Hebrew word for thanks, it means this. Acknowledging what is right about God in praise and thanksgiving. It's an amazing word. It means acknowledging what is right about God in praise and thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 16:34 uses that particular Hebrew word, and it says, in our English, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Acknowledging what is right about God. Isn't that a powerful thought? To acknowledge what's right about Him. Do we trust God that His way is best? Are we acknowledging God through all the circumstances of our life? At all times, in all things, can we look to God and acknowledge Him? Can we stop? Can we stop what we're doing sometimes? Or maybe stop our grumbling or stop our complaining? And can we thank Him and think about what God has done and who He is? And can we praise Him and thank Him for all that He's done for us? All the things He's done in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, what does it say? In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me encourage you today to decide to be thankful. Decide to be thankful. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Remember our thankfulness? It ought to be rooted in God. He wrote, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know what Paul was thankful for? He was thankful for the gift of God's grace. He was thankful for the gift of salvation. He was thankful for the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know that God loves you and I so very much that He sent His precious, His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Eric, turn off these mics, the red button, please. God loves you. God loves me. And He gave His Son, Jesus, to die for us and for our sins. There's one problem, though. There's one thing that separates us from God. And that's called sin. The Bible says in Romans 3, "There's none righteous, no, not one." It says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. I'm a sinner. Not a one of us can stand and point a finger at some segment of society or some group of people and say, "Boy, they're wicked." No, I'm wicked. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We all have a nature. By nature, we're selfish. By nature, we put ourselves first. By nature, we'll be unkind to others. By our own flesh nature, we'll want to respond with anger or with vengeance towards someone to get even when we've been done wrong against. That's our nature. We all have a sin nature. Sin is not just, you know, a murder, this or that. Sin is anger in our heart. Sin is lust in our heart. Sin is unkindness in our life. Sin is jealousy or envy of many things. We're all sinners. You know, we could try to keep the law. We could try to do good things. But that won't get us to heaven. Even at our best, we're all still sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all fall short. You know, if there was some standard or measure that we had to live up to, we would all fall short of that. We would all miss the mark. Because you know what? God is absolutely holy and perfect and just. That's a measure none of us can live up to. God gave the Ten Commandments. God gave many commandments, you know, in the Old Testament. You know what? People have never been able to keep those commandments perfectly. Why? Because we're sinners. And God gave the law not to be kept. He gave the law to be broken so that we would see our need for the Savior. We see our need for Christ. See our need for God's Son. See our need for God's forgiveness. We're all guilty. We've all broken God's laws. We're all sinners. And because of sin, we can't go to a holy place to be with a holy God. At our best, we're sinners. If you and I got what we deserve for our sins, we'd be separated from God forever. There is a punishment for sin. We might not like to hear it sometimes, but hell is a real place and heaven's a real place too. The one word is not just a fairy tale, and the other word is not just a cuss word for people to say when they're angry. They're in the Bible. They're true. And even though I would maybe wish we could just cut out the one place and leave the other, listen, it is a reality. There is a place where we go after death. Life, listen, people will live eternally someplace. Either enter into eternal life or either enter into everlasting death and condemnation and judgment. The lake of fire, punishment for all eternity. What I deserve for my sins is judgment. But God has a wonderful gift He's purchased for us. And that gift is the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 5 and verse 8 it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, listen, He died for you and He died for me. He paid the penalty on the cross for man's sins. This is something that so many people reject, but yet it's so vital and so important. So many people want to reject Jesus today. They hate the name of Jesus, but listen, Jesus truly was and Jesus truly is the Son of God. And He left heaven and He came down to earth to die on the cross for sinners, for you and for me. He came to make a way of salvation for us. If there was some other way of salvation, God could have just let that be. God could have just said, "Okay, if you go to such and such church every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, then I'll let you into heaven. If you will say these certain prayers, if you'll do these certain things, then okay, that's the way of salvation. And you keep that, you do that." But that's not what God did. God didn't give us a list of rules or a list of things or a list of this and say, "This is what you have to do, and if you do this, you can go to heaven." God didn't do it that way. God knows we're sinners. And God knows we could never keep the law. We could never save ourselves. But He sent a perfect sacrifice. He sent a perfect substitute. He sent Jesus Christ to be the substitute, to die in our place and take the punishment that we deserve so we could be saved freely. He took our place so we wouldn't have to face the punishment for our sins. He took our punishment so we could be forgiven. It's a free gift. Jesus Christ paid for it with His own life. He paid for it with His death on the cross. We just have to be willing to receive it. We have to believe it and receive it. You know, the Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." A person must believe, of course, that Jesus is the Son of God. If a person won't believe that, they cannot have God's way of salvation. They cannot receive God's gift of salvation. We must come to a place, and whether you need to hear it, you need to study it, you need to see it in the Word of God, but you need to put your faith in that fact that Jesus is truly the Son of God. You must admit you're a sinner. You must realize that we're lost. We must realize we can't save ourselves. We must realize there's nothing we can do to get ourselves to heaven. We must put our faith and trust in Jesus and Him alone. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, and verse number 9. Romans 10, verses 9 to 13, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's a heart decision that must be made. You can have a lot of head knowledge to, well, I've heard some things, I've learned some things. It's not just about having a knowledge up here. It's about having Him in here. Do you have a heart faith? Have you believed on Jesus Christ? Will you trust Him as your personal Savior? It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich. He's generous. He's willing to save all that call upon Him, the Bible says. He'll save anyone. It doesn't matter, you know, where we're from, what our background is, what ethnicity we are, what language we speak, what our background is. None of that matters. He will save those that will call upon the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Another meaning of the Hebrew word used for thanks means to have a right acknowledgement of self before God in confessing our sin. Having a right acknowledgement of ourself before God in confessing sin. Isn't that what it takes to be saved? A right acknowledgement of who I am. God, I'm just a sinner. I'm not somebody special. I'm not somebody who deserves it. God, I'm just a sinner. And I need Your grace. And I need Your mercy. And I need Your forgiveness. I know I can't make it to heaven on my own. An acknowledgement of who we really are and who He is and what He's done for us. And a willingness to put our faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Will today be the day that you give thanks to God for His unspeakable gift? Will today be the day that you would admit your own sinfulness and acknowledge God's grace and put your faith and trust in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior? You need to give more thought to this truth than anything else. Think about who you are. Think about who God is. Think about who Jesus Christ is. Think about what He's done for you. What He's done for all of us. And then you have to decide. You have to decide from your heart, will I believe in Him? Will I trust Him? Will I make Him my personal Savior? Will I trust Him for the forgiveness of sins? Oh, I so much want everybody to have eternal life and a home in heaven. And you can know that you have eternal life. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It doesn't have to just be something that, well, I hope I make it to heaven. I hope so. No, I know so. I have a know-so salvation. I know for sure in my heart that I'm on my way to heaven because I've believed the truth. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm a child of God. I know I have eternal life. Do you know that? If you don't know that for sure, I encourage you to think about that. I encourage you to be willing to talk to me and my wife, somebody, and let us share with you You say, you're kind of passionate about this. I'm passionate about it because it's real in my heart. And if you don't know it for sure, I want you to know what I have. I want you to know Christ. I want you to know the forgiveness of sins. I want you to have eternal life. I'd love to come meet with you or talk to you some here or today or another day or meet you sometime and just share with you how you can know that for sure. If you don't understand it yet, how you can have that assurance in your life. Eternal life. And a home in heaven. Hey, if you're here today and you already do know Christ, you know the Lord in your life, the way I've talked about, listen, are you going to be more thoughtful? Can you decide to be more thankful? Can you get a different perspective on things and not be a grumbler or complaining Christian? Let's learn to be a thoughtful people so we can be more thankful. Let's decide to be thankful always in all things. Paul said it over and over in his writings. In everything, give thanks. He said that same type of thought, that same type of truth, expressed it different ways to different Christians when he wrote them letters. But giving thanks always, in all things, listen, let's be Christians who are thankful people. And not just Thanksgiving weekend, but all year long. Let's express our thanks to God. Let's express thanks to other people who maybe their heart needs to hear us. Give thanks to them for some things they've done. Let's be a thankful people. Let's thank God as well, like Paul did, for His unspeakable gift. What He did, what He gave His Son for us. Let's be a thankful people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,